Praise the Lord. Good morning to everyone. We thank you for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. We meet every Sunday morning following our worship experience, and we're so thankful for this opportunity to still be able to join in the study of God's Word together with the members of the Queen's Ministry family. And so we do say to God today, thank you. And on this special day set aside for the fathers in our midst, we want to just say to you, Happy Father's Day. We pray that you are blessed, and we pray that the Lord will bless you in a special way on this your special day, and that your family and your loved ones, you all be able to enjoy one another together in such a great time. And so we ask also that we would continue to pray for one another, pray for those in our midst that are in need of a touch. And so even though we're beginning our study time, our thoughts are today for those that are in need of prayer. And we're praying that the Lord would touch them like only He can, that He will begin to heal, deliver, and set free. I don't know who that is for today, but whoever you may be, or even if you pick up this recording at a later date, we're praying that God would meet your need in a great way, like only He can. That may He touch you in that point of need where He can turn it around. Oh, we thank God on today. So we're thankful again for this time to study God's Word. And we are in a lesson series looking at the Psalm 34 and the Psalm 27. We began with Psalm 34 on our last lesson, and where we talked about this psalm being written by David during a time when he pretended to be crazy or insane in front of King Achish of Gath, while he was running away from King Saul of Israel. So David was in a situation where fear was all around him, but he chose. That's why he made a decision not to fear. And instead of fearing, he made a decision to praise and to seek God and to ask God to guide him through this most difficult time. And from that, we can glean so many things that we too can use in our lives, that it can be relevant to us in our lives, that we can hold on to as we go through our difficult times, times that will cause us to be fearful and afraid. But God has told us that is not a spirit that is from Him. He said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So as we look at this psalm, we would see David, again, who wrote this psalm, talk to us about being strong in the Lord and praising God for all His many blessings. Praise be to God. Alrighty, let's begin by reading our foundational verse for our lesson, and it's found in Psalms 145 and 21, and it says, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever. That sounds so similar to David when he began this psalm, when he wrote this psalm, Psalm 34. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And Psalms 145 echoes that. It says, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. And so on today, we could understand after reading through this psalm why David declared he was going to bless the Lord or praise God in all occasions. This psalm, as we began to read and to study on it, we saw it as one of the five spectrums of worship that we talked about earlier in this lesson. Let me repeat that sequence, the five spectrum of worship that this psalms offer up to us. The worship of God in the triumphant exaltation of Him. That's right, in praise of Him. We can worship God from this psalm. We can see it when we have confident affirmation of His truth, when there is earnest petition for His help, when we offer up genuine repentance from sin, and lastly, when there is offered to God the reverent attention to His word. Those are areas of worship. Praising or exalting God, affirming His truth, crying out to him for help or assistance, being sorrowful, genuinely repenting from sin, and paying great, awesome attention to God's word, looking at it with respect and adoration and reverence to his word. Those are areas of worship. And so when we talked about this psalm, we said, well, what category would this psalm fall in? And we liken it to the triumphant exaltation of the Lord and the earnest petition for his help. Because throughout this psalm, you would see the writer continue to say, I sought the Lord, or I sought, or I prayed, or I cried out to the Lord. So either one, but I lean more today towards the earnest petition for his help. That's number one. Then we said we were going to hold off on describing what psalm that this fell, what category that this psalm fell into, whether it was a psalm of petition or celebration. Because most of the psalms, not all of them, but most of the psalms fall into two basic categories, and that is one of petition and one of celebration. So we see in the psalm of petition, we pledge our commitment to the Lord and plead with him to come to our aid. And then in the psalm of celebration, we gather together to lift up the name of the Lord as a great and mighty ruler, great king of all the earth, and to recount, recall, remember his great acts among us. So that's the psalm of celebration. We're going to come back to that question near the end of our discussion on Psalm 34. We move into number three, where it says, from the first two verses, how do we see that David has decided to trust in God in his crisis? When we read that, we see that David decided to trust in God through his crisis because he declared that he was going to praise the Lord or bless the Lord at all times, whether it was a good time, bad time, up time, down time, a full time, or a lack time. He was going to praise God all the time. He says, I'm going to not only praise God, but I'm going to boast about him. I'm going to speak well of him and tell of his mighty power and encourage others to do the same. Amen, somebody. We moved on to question number four, and it says in verse number three, David declares that the Lord is worthy of praise. Can we declare that today? Oh, yes, indeedy. Yes, we can, that the Lord is worthy of praise. And he tells us to do this. He tells us to join together in praise with him. He said, let us. Let the community of believers, let the righteous, let those that the Lord has saved, let us honor him together. Let us praise him and exalt him. Let us lift him up together. So not only does David declare that the Lord is worthy of praise, but he also encourages us to do the same thing, to honor the Lord as a community of believers, as a congregation. Amen. Now we move into question number five, and it says in verse number four, this verse, in my estimation, sums up the whole intent of this psalm. And so what does David tell us that we should do? What does David do and tell us that we should all do when we're faced with difficulties and challenges? Well, David says that we should seek God. Well, what's another way or another term when we say seek God? And that is we ought to pray. Yes, sir. All of us, when we find ourselves in difficulties or challenges that are pressing in on us, we need to pray. Matter of fact, I offer up, because prayer is communication with God, that we pray all the time, not only in the difficult times, but the times we're good, so we can even bless God and be thankful and show that thanksgiving in our prayer. But we need to seek God in prayer. We need to get before the Lord and look to him for his help and his assistance. That's what David did, and that's what he encourages us to do. In this verse, David declares two things. This is question number six. He declares two things to us. One, that God hears us. Aren't you glad about that? That when we talk to the Lord, when we communicate with Him, He hears us, or He will hear us. Amen. And secondly, that He will deliver or free us from all our fears. Let me repeat that. In this verse, David declares these two things. He says, one, God will hear us, which is so important that your prayers are not just being just uttered out in the atmosphere and dropping in as dead weight. No, God hears them. And he's attentive to our prayers. And then David says he will deliver, or he will free us from all our fears. So whatever you're facing now that's causing you to tremble or be fearful, know today if you cry out to the Lord, He will deliver you from all your fears. Remember, David wrote this when he was in a time or a situation of fearfulness, when he could have just crawled up into a cave and just kind of sunk away and died out. But he decided he was going to trust God in the midst of all of it and declared that God was going to deliver him from all that he was in fearful of at that moment in time, whether the chasing of King Saul and his men or running into King Achish and his men. He says, I'm still going to trust in the Lord. God's going to deliver me from all my fears. He's going to work it out on my behalf. Amen, somebody. We move into verse number 5. I think this is where I left off. If not, then let me say at the onset, forgive me for repeating it verbatim, but we are going to start right here. So verse number 5, let me read it quickly. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. What do you think David is saying to us as readers of this particular psalm? Well, I think what David is saying that God put a smile on my face. God put a smile on my face. Those of us that look to Him are joyful. Amen. Hallelujah. Not to say we don't have any troubles, not to say we don't have difficulties, but in the midst of it all, we still can have joy. Amen. We can still glow with the promise of God being there for us and working it out on our behalf. We don't have to show a face of sadness or disappointment. Amen. And I'm not saying that you may not experience difficulties or disappointments and sadness. And I'm not saying not to show it. But I'm saying you can release that unto the Lord, and He can bring you to a place of joy. Yes, He can. Hallelujah. He can bring you to a place where you don't have to feel shame. Hallelujah. You may have messed up. Glory to God. Did some things that you ought not to. Said some things that you should not have. But God can forgive you, and you can seek the forgiveness of those that you may have wronged, and God can bring you to a place where you don't have to feel the shame, or the shame can be on your face. Amen. Instead of, you can have the glow of the Lord. How many have been in the company of others and they have said to you, oh, there's something about you. You just look different. There's just something about you that's different than others. That's in my estimation, that is the glory or the glow of the Lord on you. Amen. Especially when you've been in a moment of time or a presence of the Lord, it's going to reflect in your face. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So that's verse number 5. We move into verse number 6. And let me read verse number 6. And it says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. This verse is similar to verse 4, where David said, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And what are they both declaring? Both of the verses saying that when we pray in our hard and challenging times, in our desperate time, God hears us. That's important, saints. God hears us. And He can save us or deliver us. And He keeps us out of trouble. Amen. He can save us. He can deliver us and keep us out of trouble. So in our moments where we feel despair, we can cry out or call out to the Lord. We can seek him. As David said, I sought him. We can seek him, and he will deliver or save us and keep us, help us to stay out of trouble. Amen, somebody. Aren't you glad about the Lord being in your life? Hallelujah. Can I get an amen, somebody? Praise the Lord. Verse number 7, moving right along. Verse number 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord, who shall guard and rescue us? The angel of the Lord is encamped around us when we seek the Lord. Those of us that fear, or those of us that reverence the Lord our God, he has placed protection, a hedge of protection around us. Amen. The angel of the Lord encamps. Encamps brings to mind somebody that's there, hallelujah, not only in a moment's notice, but there for a while. Encamp sounds like somebody that stays a while. Amen. So when we seek the Lord, the angel of the Lord encamps around us. It's around us as we're praying to God that God would protect us in this moment. Amen, somebody. And then it says he delivers us. He delivers them. Number 8, verse number 8 through 10. Let me read those for you. I love this particular way the author places it in the translation. I love the way the writer says to us, how he says to us, the way God has brought it to us to understand that we need to enjoy God. We need to enjoy his presence. We need to enjoy who he is in our lives. I love the way the writer has put this verse to prose. Verses 8 through 10 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. In verses 8 through 10, David says, try God and see that he is what? Good. I'm going to repeat that because that is a great testimony. Hallelujah. David says, try God, truly try him, and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Question number 11. Let's name 3 things that he will give to those that trust and honor him. From those same verses, verses 8 through 10, what 3 things does David say that the Lord will give to us, to those of us that trust him and honor him? Well, when we look at those verses, we see that there is joy in taking refuge and safety in him. There is joy in taking refuge and safety in God. Number 2, there is no lack when we trust him. For he said he will supply those who honor him and reverence him. He will supply our need. And lastly, that good things are our basic needs are met as we trust him. Good things, or the basic things that we need, are met as we trust him. So there is joy in taking refuge in him. There is no lack when we trust him, and he will supply our basic needs, the good things in life that we need. Reminds me of certain other verses in support of this psalm. When we think about this verse, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. The no lack reminds me of the New Testament verse that says, God, my God, shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And that last one, where good things are given or our basic needs are met, when we hear Jesus offering up a template or a manner or a model of prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day the good things we need, God. Today our daily needs are met. Amen. Praise God. We thank God today that he does just that. All right, we're moving into question number 12, and we're looking at verses 11 through 14. Let me read those verses in your hearing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Ah, my goodness. The writer gives us a whole laundry list there of things we need to do if we want to what? If we want to have long life, or we love and have a desire for a long life, or just for a good life. The writer says, come, I got some answers for you. I want to teach you some wisdom so that you can have a blessed life. So what did he indicate to us as readers of the Psalms on how to fear the Lord and how to live a long and well-spent life? I pulled out four items that David says we can gain if we were to listen to what he gave as instructions. One, he says, keep your tongue from evil. Keep your tongue from ungodly or hurtful things. You know, sometimes a tongue can be a deadly tool. Oh my goodness. James reminds us that that tongue is deadly and that it can kill. Glory to God. It can do a lot of damage. So we need to be mindful of what we say and how we say it. I know we are to speak truth, but we have to do it with grace and with love. No need to blurt out the truth of someone's situation if it's going to harm and damage them to the point where you lost them as a brother or sister or as a child of God. So David is saying, keep your tongue from evil, from the profane things, from the ungodly things, from the hurtful things. And this in turn will help you to have fear or a reverence for God and to live a long, well-spent life. Amen. Number two, keep your lips and your mouth from speaking deceit or lies. Nobody wants to be around a liar. That's it. Nobody wants to be around somebody they can't trust to speak honesty and to speak the truth. No, you're going to push others away, or they're not going to be able to trust you or to be able to depend on you because your mouth is speaking deceit and lies. David said, don't do that. He says, keep your lips, keep your mouth, keep your tongue from speaking deceitful things or speaking lies. Again, he says, I'm going back to that 11th verse when he says, come, I got some instruction for you. Come, I want to teach you how to fear the Lord. I want to teach you and instruct you how, if you desire to have many days, how you can do that. Listen to what I'm saying. Keep your tongue from evil and keep your lips from speaking deceit. Then he goes on, number three, depart from evil and do good. Depart from those hateful and sinful ways, or those ways that would bring destruction. Move away from that. Move away from those things that don't show the glory of God in your life. Amen. Depart from evil and then do some good. Look around. Is there some good that you can offer in your midst? Is there some good you can offer to somebody in need? Do good. Depart from evil and do good. Not only do good in your action and your speech, but do good to others. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've talked on many occasions how the Lord has instructed us to feed the homeless. Amen. To visit those in nursing home, to look out for those that are less fortunate. So do good. There's always an opportunity for us to show forth the goodness of the Lord in our lives. Amen. And to be a blessing to someone else. So depart from evil. Keep away from those things that will cause harm to you, cause harm to others, bring destruction in your life, bring negativity in your sphere or your circle, and bring about goodness, love for others, and show forth that in your action and your speech. And then the last thing David said, let me instruct you on, he says, pursue and seek peace. Pursue it. You know, when you hear pursue, that sounds like chasing after someone or something. So David is saying pursue it. That means don't let it get away from you. If you see it going away, you run after it. You chase after it, the peace that you need in your life. Seek it. That means look for peaceful things. Look for peaceful situation. The word of God says, as much as possible on you, let peace be in the midst. So sometimes peace is on us. How? What do you mean? Well, do we have to always answer a negative comment? Do we have to always rebut to somebody saying something? Do we always have to have the last word? Oh my goodness. If we kept our mouths shut, would peace come? Think about that. If we decided to do good, would peace come? Even in spite of others treating us in a different manner, treating us in a manner that we may not appreciate or show forth the goodness, we don't have to respond in kind. I hear the words and I paraphrase. I heard and read the saying from Mother Teresa, the late Mother Teresa, where she says, even if others are showing forth meanness and hatred, she said, you do good. You do what you know to do is right. You show forth the peace of God in your life. And sometimes we have to do that, saints. And all around us is crazy. Sometimes we are looked upon as those that can bring peace into the situation. Don't you want to be as Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers. Don't you want to be one of those? Amen, somebody. So David is saying, go after peace, seek it, work to maintain it in your relationships and in your dealings with others. Hallelujah, somebody. All right, so I'm going to do one more question here. And we're coming down to the time frame. I don't want to hold you too terribly long, especially on today. You may want to be running out with your loved one to celebrate this day. So I want to give you ample time to gather up. And if you have a reservation in place, we don't want you to miss that. So I'm going to do one more, and then we're going to allow everyone to come on and say hello and wish whoever you would like to wish a happy Father's Day. But let's do our last verses here, verses 15 to 16. Let me read them for you. And it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Listen, right there is enough indication to you and to me that we ought to depart from evil. Why? Verse 16 tells us a good reason why we need to depart from evil. Because the face of the Lord is going to be against us if we stay in evil, if we continue in an evil or a way that is dishonoring God. Oh my goodness, I don't know about you, but I don't want God to turn his face from me. I want to be like Numbers say, may the face of the Lord shine upon us. Hallelujah, somebody. Verse 15 and 16. The writer lists some things that can happen to us that do right versus those that do evil or wrongdoing. What does he say? The writer in those two verses says that the Lord watches over or upon the righteous, those that do right. He hears them and he answers them. The Lord watches over those that do right or righteous, and he hears them and he answers their prayers. Versus, get this, those that do evil, he turns his face from them. He doesn't look down upon them with favor. And this is important too, to note that he wipes out their memory from the earth. Wipes out their memory from the earth. That means he doesn't, those of us won't look upon them favorably. When we think of them or talk about them, it will be in a negative context because of their evilness when they were alive. You don't want everybody to talk about you in a negative way when you're gone. You want them to bring up some good things, amen? Or say that you were a person that showed forth the goodness of the Lord. You don't want your memory wiped out, forgotten because of all the evil you've done to erase your good. So be mindful of that. Depart from evil, that David instructs us, and let good, the goodness of the Lord, flow in our lives. Listen, this psalm is not talking to those who are not believers. It's talking to us who are believers. Amen. Encouraging us to trust in God and to hold fast to God and to seek the Lord and his ways. So this psalm is for those that are believers. And we must be mindful of that when we say this is what David is saying, that he's talking to believers. Everybody's not going to be able to do these things because first and foremost, they don't have a heart for God. And that's what we have to have, a heart for God and a desire to reverence him, to praise him, and to love him. Hallelujah. That's what's causing us to want to do those things David is instructing us to do. We have to have a heart for God. I'm going to stop right there and let you meditate you on that for a while and ask the Lord to continue to grow in our hearts, to continue to allow us to have a fellowship with him, to be in relationship with him. When we think about our relationship with God, we hear God saying, I no longer just call you friend, but I have called you a child of the Most High God. Amen. So when we think about the goodness of the Lord in our lives, one of the good things he does is he allows us to be connected to him as family. Amen, somebody. As Jesus said, we can now cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah, somebody. Listen, you've been listening to us here at the Queen's Ministry, our Bible Breakfast Fellowship Study Hour. Every Sunday morning we're here and we pray that the Lord has blessed you on today as we're studying the Psalm 34. We look forward to you being with us in the next several weeks as we continue this series, as we go through almost verse by verse this psalm, pointing out the items that David has given to us, as he said, instructed us, so that we can improve in our relationship with the Lord and with others. So let me encourage you to come back and continue with us in our study. Once we finish 34, we're going to move right into the other psalm of David, Psalm 27. Amen. And again, we're just looking to the Lord to increase our wisdom and knowledge in our study time so that we can grow and become all that he says that we are, the mature Christian, the perfect Christian. Not perfect because we don't do wrong, but perfect in our maturity. And so that's what we look for in our study time. God bless you. May heaven continue to smile upon you is our prayer. We pray indeed that you are blessed by these words, the words of the Lord, and we pray that you would not only hide them in your heart, but to share them with others. Until next time, we give you God praise and thanks for being here. Be blessed.